Baseball is back.
He doesn't want a super spreader out there in the middle of the field.
The season is different. On the field, in the socially distant clubhouse, in the empty stands.
You guys wanted to do it. You've been wanting to do it for months.
There's a lot to talk about.
Who are you kidding? Don't give me all that bull crap.
And this is the place to do it. This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Big Y, Safety Insurance, Rodenheiser Home Services, Woodbridge Wines, Gravely, Budweiser, and Jackson Lumber.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How disappointing has this season been for you?
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's been a disappointing year. We take responsibility for it. There's no excuses either. Obviously, we've had the injury bug. It certainly didn't help that Chris Sale, before the season, went down, and Eduardo Rodriguez wasn't available. But we're not going to make any excuses. The only thing I'll say is that there were a number of bright spots this year. We're already attacking the challenges, and we expect to be competitive next year. And
we expect to be competitive next year. That's Red Sox owner Tom Werner with Tom Caron of Nesson on Friday night before the series opener against the New York Yankees. And the Red Sox wrapped up that series with a win. Was that yesterday or last night? I'm ashamed to say. I was so focused on the Patriots. Was that last night?
No.
Isn't that shameful?
No, not at all. Not at this point, please.
So again, I was so focused on the Patriots. I think they played last night, the Red Sox. I don't know if it was yesterday or last night. But I did watch some of Tanner Houck on highlights, and I should remember whether that was during daylight or darkness, Murray.
There's no shame in that at all, man.
But please. Nonetheless, I will tell you that I thought Houck looked pretty good. But really, what I want to get to today is where the Red Sox are going, because I think that's what we're going to focus on for the bulk of this week. We'll open up the phone lines right away, because I know so many of you are so eager to talk about the Red Sox. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the program. This is it this week. This is it. This is the last week of the Baseball Reporters and the merciful end of the Red Sox season. So if you want to talk baseball, and I told you, given the state of the team, given the state of the season, all of that in Major League Baseball, there's been decidedly little to talk about this baseball season. So whatever thoughts you have are certainly welcome. We'll take any calls we can get, me and Murray. Five nights to go. 617-779-0985. I almost gave my cell phone number there.
I've done this kind of thing before.
Yeah, seriously, I came close.
As for some reason, I gave the number to the other station once.
Holy crap, I've done that, Murray. I've done that. So here's where I want to start with that comment by Werner. We expect to be competitive next year. So the question is, what qualifies as competitive, and is he being honest? Because one other thing that Tom Werner said is that they expect to have, hopefully by May, Chris Sale back, and then Eduardo Rodriguez, because if you read Alex Spear in the Globe last week, and we touched on this, Eduardo Rodriguez's off-season program may be delayed or altered because of the myocarditis he has suffered as a result of COVID. So Eduardo Rodriguez may not be able to begin his off-season program or fully engage in it as he normally would, which could set him back as far as the start of next year. So the point is this. The pitching staff you see here at the end of the year, minus any off-season moves, could be the same pitching staff you see at the beginning of the season. And Tom Werner says he expects the Red Sox to be competitive. Murray, do you believe him?
No, not at all.
Jimmy Stewart, to you.
I do.
Okay, so I believe him, too. The question is, what do you deem competitive? And is 82-80 competitive? Is an average 500 team competitive? Or is he talking about a club that could contend for a wild card spot and maybe sneak into the playoffs if everything goes right? And I think it's the second thing. I think they are hopeful that if everything goes right, that they could actually be a decent team next year and squeak in potentially to the playoffs.
Is that good enough for people around here? I would think not. That's why I say no.
After this year, I would say, overall, I'd say no, Murray. It's not. It's not. But given the way this year went, it'd be a step in the right direction. Now, again, I equate this to 2012. This year to me is very much like 2012. In 2013, during that offseason, between 12 and 13, they went out and signed Napoli and Victorino and those guys. They hired John Farrell, and we thought, okay, they're starting to put it back together. You know, we'll see what they got. This team should win 84, 85 games and play hard. They ended up winning the World Series, which is the worst thing that happened to them, Because now, if anyone thinks that kind of turnaround can happen again, you're delusional. And the Red Sox know this, too. I've taken a lot of crap for this, by the way, for saying the 2013 Red Sox were lucky. Now, you tell me, do you think ownership is expecting to do that again? Because there's no way they are. No way. I see a number of you lined up for calls already, but I do want to play this part of Werner's comment again. Okay, the very beginning of it, Jimmy, if you would. And we can skip over Tom Caron's question if you can do that. But Caron said to him, you know, the state of the team, basically. State of the team, how do you feel about the way the season has gone? And here is what Tom Werner said.
There's no excuses either. Obviously, we've had the injury bug. It certainly didn't help that Chris Sale, before the season, went down, and Eduardo Rodriguez wasn't available. But we're not going to make any excuses.
Let's stop there. So this is not exclusive to the Red Sox or to Werner or John Henry or anybody else. People do this all the time, and it's irritating. Well, I'm not going to make excuses. You know, we caught a couple of bad breaks, but no. If you're not going to make excuses,
don't make excuses.
And people do it all the time. So, my experience and relationship with Werner over the years, if I could say I could call it a relationship, we don't know each other that well. I mean, I know him. And he's always been perfectly decent to me. I have no issue there. But the whole practice of it, which is why this isn't really a Werner thing. Look, I don't want to make excuses, we did have some injuries. We lost Sale, and then Eduardo Rodriguez got COVID, but we're not going to make excuses.
No, it's like when you rip someone, but you start it with all due respect.
Yeah, I like him, but.
Yeah.
But. So here's what I would say to the Red Sox, and this is why people get agitated with the ownership there, because they just don't give it to you totally straight. Here's what they should say. Look, no matter what happened, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. We have a high payroll. We got a fan base who cares. Whatever got us to this point has to be on us, because at the end of the day, if we put ourselves in a spot where we didn't have enough depth to withstand some bad breaks, that's our fault. End of story. Just that. That's it. The Chris Sale injury, I still refuse to give the Red Sox credit for. We all knew he wasn't going to pitch this year. We all knew. As soon as he ramped it up and started throwing it, his elbow wasn't going to hold up. So, I don't know. Maybe Sale didn't want to have the surgery. Maybe they wanted him to. Maybe it was the other way around. Who the hell knows? In those types of decisions, it can get pretty complicated. So, maybe Sale wanted to avoid it. Maybe James Andrews did tell him not to have the surgery. I have no idea. What I know is that it was a mistake. He should have had it last November. He'd be ready for the start of next year now. Instead, we have to speculate that he'll be ready, quote-unquote, sometime in May. Mark my words right now. You'll be lucky if you see him at the All-Star break. And even then, whenever he comes back, Chris Sale's going to need half of next year to get back into form. He's not going to be the same pitcher next year, and I don't know if Eduardo Rodriguez is either. Now, will they add something from the market in the offseason? Maybe. But the idea that they'll be competitive, I want to know where they're going to get the pitching from. They may have found something with this kid, Houck. And when I say found something, I don't mean an ace. But I said this last week, and I'll say it again. The stuff he has can play in the big leagues. Where in the rotation? I would speculate at this stage, at his peak, he's no higher than a number three starter. I'd sort of put him at like a 2.5. He's not good enough to be a number two, and he could be as low as number five or not make it at all. But his ceiling is probably in the middle of the rotation somewhere, and given the state of their pitching, the Red Sox would and should take that. So 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Dan in Abington. Go ahead, Dan.
So hello, Tony. I just wanted to say thank you for the support of the baseball reporters. It's been a very tough year.
But hey, Dan, can you do me a favor? I don't know if you're on a Bluetooth device or if you're actually talking into your phone. We say this all the time. You got to hold it like a slice of pizza because we can't hear you.
Yeah, can you hear me? Is that a little better?
A little. Go.
All right, just real quick, what do you think about maybe John Lester next year with the stopgap, given Sale and Eduardo Rodriguez, very questionable?
Okay, so the question was, if you couldn't hear, what about the idea of bringing back John Lester, who I think is going to be a free agent at the end of the year? If I'm not mistaken, I think there was some sort of option on Lester's contract. I raised this last week. Jimmy, if you could sign John Lester to a reasonable deal for, call it, 2 or even 3 years, would you do it?
Yes, 100%.
Murray, would you?
No, not given his age. What are you doing it for? It feels like a PR stunt to me.
Yep, I need PR. I need people to come to the ballpark next year. I'm in.
Do you think it would matter to the fan base?
I mean, at this point, well, Jimmy is still cares. So, you know, I guess if you're trying to get them back in, and, you know, they certainly need as many asses in seats next year after this COVID year and no fans there. So, sure, do it. I just think that would be kind of contrived.
John Lester, though, had talked about pitching at Wrigley for the last time, like last weekend in a regular season game. So yeah. I think he knows he's gone.
Yeah, he did say that. He did. And look, Lester's 36 years old now, I think it is. I think he turned 36 in January. He'd be 37. I don't think you're bringing him in on more than a 1 or 2 year contract, or maybe one with an option, or, you know, depends on what the market is, 2 and an option, something like that. And let's say it costs you $18 million a year, $15 million a year. I don't know what the number is. I would take a shot.
I would worry that he wouldn't want to come back based on what ownership did to him however many years ago.
Jimmy, I would have the same concern. My guess is the Red Sox are going to have trouble attracting players. They're going to have trouble doing that. But, I don't know, maybe you can appeal to a sentimental chord with Lester. And honestly, this might be a long shot. I'm just telling you, what other options do you have? Where are you going to get pitching? You're going to wait for Chris Sale to come back in June, July, and then what? He's going to be subpar. He's not going to be right. Look at Shohei Ohtani with the Angels. And then what good's that going to do you? And if you're waiting till June, what if you're buried again by the time he comes back? You buried yourself at the beginning of 2019. You buried yourself at the beginning of 2020. You can't afford to have that happen again at the beginning of 2021. And Eduardo Rodriguez, do we really think for sure that if he can pitch, he's a number one or two starter? Let's say he's fully healthy. How do you know that that's still going to work? Because prior to last year, Rodriguez had been largely a disappointment. He'd been okay, but he was a back half of the rotation kind of guy. So we'll start there, 617-779-0985. I want to get to more things that Werner said. We'll also get to Tanner Houck, who pitched again yesterday against the Yankees, the results of which, pretty good. Pretty good. We'll get to that and your phone calls next.
This is the Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is a show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, a little tougher test today against the Yankees for Tanner.
Stan's been hurt a big chunk of the season. He goes down hacking. That one ate him up. Nobody out. 2-1 to Sanchez. Hammered to short. It goes 6-4-3. 3-2 swung on and missed. Ooh, how about that cut?
Oh, just ate him up. That little high sinker.
Struck him out.
No, gas.
Swing and a miss. He put him away. Back-to-back K's by Howe. Another ground ball. Lynn with the stop. Side retired. Howe finally gives up a run, but he's up by 5.
When you have the year that the Red Sox are having, it doesn't take much. You can get excited about anything positive. Bobby Dalbec striking out a million times, but he hit some home runs, so you get all geeked up about that. Or maybe you get pumped up about Tanner Houck, who made his second major league start yesterday and again came out of it pretty well. I mean, Houck in 2 starts this year now. 11 innings, 3 hits. And yesterday he pitched against the Yankees. 3 hits, 11 strikeouts. Pretty good. His one loss record, 2-0. The Red Sox won both of his starts. And his ERA, 0.00. The run yesterday was unearned. Not allowed an earned run. Obviously, no home runs in there. Here's the one thing I don't like. 6 walks. 6 walks, which is an average of 5 walks per 9 innings. Now, we had Jared Karabas of Barstool Sports on last week, and I said, what do you know about Houck? What should we expect? And he said, if he's anything like he was in the minor leagues, expect traffic on the bases. So there was some traffic. He didn't give up many hits, though. Now, I'm eager to see how the Red Sox feel about that over the long run, because we all know that the walks, they'd rather have a walk than a ball put in play. And certainly they'd rather have a walk than a home run or a double or an extra base hit of some sort. And Brandon Workman made a living off it when he was here. I hate the walks. And to me, it really shows more than anything a guy who can't really pitch. So he might have an arm, he might have movement, or he hasn't learned how to harness it yet, but he doesn't know how to pitch yet. That's what I would say generally that the number reveals, okay, a high walk total. In the case of Houck, the stuff's pretty good. Houck's got great movement. He's not a guy who throws 98 and blows people away, although he can certainly go up in the strike zone and hit 96, somewhere in that area. But he's going to pitch at 92, 93 miles an hour with a great deal of movement, which I'm okay with. I like those guys if the ball moves enough, and his ball moves quite a bit. So there is something there to get a little optimistic about. Now, the kid still needs work. He's got to learn how to command better. You can see he gets out of whack at times. But in two starts, given the complete absence of pitching the Red Sox system, at least relative absence, you should absolutely be optimistic that maybe he can take a spot at the end of the rotation next year and you take your chances there. But the success of the team ultimately will be decided by who's at the top of the rotation. Okay, don't expect too much of Houck as a rookie. But I think he has a chance. Adams and Moonsocket. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, you're upset about the walks. I'm upset that they won. I mean, great that he pitched well, but what are we doing here? I mean, this is ridiculous. We have a chance at one of the, you know, the top two picks if Manfred doesn't totally screw everything up. I mean, I think we heard that, like, there's, you know, he might not go like 1-2 Pittsburgh, Boston as far as like top picks, but this is a season. We're giving out awards. We're going to have a World Series. Why aren't we going by the standings? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, so Adam, it's a good point. And for those of you who don't know, the Red Sox right now, if the season ended today, would have the third worst record in baseball. Tied with Arizona, actually. Worst is Pittsburgh. Texas is second. Red Sox and Arizona tied for third for the lowest winning percentage in the game. So in theory, if that were to hold true, you'd have the number three pick in the draft, or number four if you lost a coin flip or tiebreaker with Arizona. There is some good talent at the top of this draft, from what I understand, and I asked about this, so I don't know, a month ago, that you know, there's no clear consensus, number one. There were a couple of kids at Vanderbilt, two pitchers that are highly regarded, that many believe will go 1-2, but that overall the talent at the top of the draft is pretty good. So the Red Sox, in theory, should get one of those picks. The problem is that it's unclear yet how they're going to determine draft order. Because it's a short season, the chance of them going purely on this year's standings seem relatively low. Now, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, could go that way, in which case the order would be just what I told you. Pittsburgh, Texas, Red Sox, and Arizona tied for third. But it feels like it's going to be some sort of combination of one loss record by this year and last year, which means the Red Sox could slide down some in the order. So to the caller's point, why are the Red Sox winning games? Here's what I would tell you. They're probably not going to get the third pick anyway. I hope they do. That would be a great get. But even if they end up at five, if it's not one or two, what difference does it make? And they're not going to be bad enough to catch the Pirates. They haven't been bad enough to catch the Pirates all year long. The real question is, what are the Red Sox going to do with the pick? They had the number seven pick not too long ago under Ben Cherington, and they took Trey Ball. That pick has been a bust. Andrew Benintendi was the number seven pick in the draft, and I would say overall he's been okay, but he hasn't lived up to the promise. Maybe he'll grow into it. It wouldn't shock me if they trade Benintendi this offseason. Jay Groom was number 12 in the draft, and we don't know if they're going to how that one's going to turn out, because Groom has had some off-field issues. So even if they get the high pick, based on their recent history, how have the Red Sox done with those picks? And then beyond that, if you were to say to me, well, Chaim Bloom wasn't the GM of the team. Now he is. They'll draft better with Bloom here. Check out Tampa's recent draft history. Not good. They've drafted poorly. And in fact, Baseball America, which again to me is the Bible when it comes to evaluating minor league talent, they have criticized the Rays drafts and said that the Rays haven't drafted well in recent years. So, yeah, I'm not sure the Red Sox would do something with the pick anyway. Building the farm system is not about one pick. It's about several over years. Chris is in Worcester. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, you know, I know you talked a lot about the draft, and thank you, Tony. That's all the questions I wanted answered. So now I'll go back to the team itself. We still don't have a second baseman. Is that correct?
I would say generally that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and Jackie Bradley, I mean, there's so many questions, and I just want to know, give me your overall evaluation, I guess, as we walk the death march. What do you want to do with this team, really, about the whole the team?
Okay, so Chris, here's the big thing to me, and I understand people are asking things about, like, well, Bradley's a free agent. He's gone. Who's going to play center field? I would say don't worry about it. Benintendi in a pinch could play center. If you had to play a whole year with Benintendi in center field, so be it. Verdugo could play center if it came to that. Jaron Duran should be up here at some point next year. He can play center field. So between those three guys, you'll have a center fielder. He might not be a gold glover like Jackie Bradley, but I've always thought the defense out there can be a little overrated. Remember, you won a World Series with Johnny Damon out there, and you won a World Series with Jacoby Ellsbury out there. So I wouldn't put – in fact, you won two with Ellsbury out there. Who was the center fielder in 2018? Oh, there was Bradley. Jesus. Good God. Jimmy, the brain's going to pudding. So I wouldn't the point being you've won World Series with lots of different center fielders. You can get by with that one. Second base, I'm not overly alarmed about. Who knows? Maybe Jeter Downs is ready, but I wouldn't hold your breath. Again, that one's fillable. With the Red Sox, the question and only question really is how do you rebuild that pitching staff in short order? How do you do that? Sale's not going to be ready until, call it, June. Eduardo Rodriguez might be pushed back. So you might be faced with Nathan Eovaldi again, Tanner Houck, Martin Perez. Is that what you're going to get through there with, or do you have to go out, sign a couple of reclamation projects, maybe guys coming off injuries, invite five or six guys to camp on make good deals and see how you do? It could be that sort of scenario. It's the one thing the 2013 Red Sox had on the 2021 Sox, and again, I compare 2012 to now. That team came back, had some pitching. Lester, John Lackey, there were some pitchers on that staff. Koji Uehara was in your bullpen. So there was a lot to like there. This team's different. The pitching needs an overhaul. Where are they going to get that? That's the one that nobody has an answer for. Maybe it's through trade. Maybe, again, I would bet on reclamation projects. And maybe we can get into more of this a little bit later in the week, go over some specific names of guys who might be worth taking a gamble on. But to me, Lester is kind of one of those guys. And if John Lester could give you 25 starts next year and give you an ERA under 4, would you take it? I would bet on Lester's compete. I would bet on his seniority and his experience. And the other thing is it might help bring along some of those young guys on the staff. If Lester's invested and interested in coming back, and I don't know that he is. So again, we began the show with sound from Tom Werner from Friday night. He did an interview with Tom Caron on Nesson, as they frequently do during the baseball season, every Friday, I think. And this might be the last one of the year, although I don't know if they're doing one this coming Friday or not. But Werner touched on a couple of things that I think worth hitting on, rather. We'll get to those here as soon as we come back. After Jim Murray, get you caught up on all the latest in the world of sports, specifically a long, long list of injuries in the NFL.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more hot takes on a short season. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tom, Xander Bogaerts has become such a leader for this group. And last week he said, listen, I'm not interested in long-term rebuilding. He goes, we're too good. There's too much here. We're going to be competitive again next year. Is that the organizational belief that this team can be a playoff caliber team in 2021?
Well,
from his lips to God's ear. But we do feel that, listen, we're staring at a very disappointing season. As I said, we don't have any excuses. But we've got a lot of assets. And as everybody knows, you know, we spend and we're not a small market team. And we're going to be back next year.
Again, Tom Werner from Friday Night. We're going to be back next year. I just don't know that I have the confidence yet. I hope he's right. The pitching market is poor. Chris Sale's not going to be ready until June at the earliest, I think. They're saying May, sometime in May. I'm telling you, the Tommy John ones always drag on. And then even when he comes back, he's not going to be right for a while. It takes almost 2 full years to recover from that. 18 months anyway. And when I say recover, I'm including pitching time. That before you reclaim it on the mound, 18 months. 18 months. Eduardo Rodriguez, unknown. Tanner Houck, unknown. It's just one unknown after the next. But I do find it interesting, and the Red Sox always remind us of this. You know, we're going to spend. We spend. Don't say that we don't spend. And they do. They do spend. They've spent poorly and unwisely, but they spend. So I've said this a million times. You know, people get mad and they call the Red Sox cheap. They're not cheap. They're not cheap. They've spent a ton of money on that team. So that's the good news. The bad news is that's how partly how they got into this mess. That they just spent, they didn't develop, and now they're at a spot where they have holes to fill. And the only way they can fill them is with more bad contracts. David Price was a bad contract. Free agency is a largely inefficient way to build a roster, as we all know. So now do we want them to go out and spend big money for Trevor Bauer? Throw $150 million at that guy? Because I don't want to do that. That's not the right answer. There's got to be another alternative. So it's going to be a slow fix. There's a second part of that comment that we just played for you that you should take very seriously, which I'll get to in 1 second. John's in a car. Go ahead, John.
Tony, doesn't it get back to the same question of why are all these players still here that shouldn't be here? Like, what are they thinking in the front office? If you know all this information, I mean, if you and I know it, then I'm pretty sure they know.
What information?
They got no pitching going into next season. Why is Martinez still here? Why was Bradley still here? Even if you just get rid of them to get rid of them at this point so that you can build for the future, that's the move to make. I don't even care at this point if you take a bath on it. But it just gets back to the same thing to me.
Hey, John. What if they said they want Jackie Bradley back? How would you feel about that?
Tony, it's just...
I'm just asking you a question. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong. I'm saying, hold on. I'm asking the question. Do you like Jackie Bradley? Do you want them to bring him back?
Not anymore. I used to like him, but I really think his highest point in that playoff was because they cheated. And I think if they weren't cheating, he would have struck out every time when he was up at bat. So to me, the defense that he provides isn't enough for the offense.
Okay, so look, I don't want Bradley back either. I'm just asking you because, again, if you remember at that time, Chaim Bloom said he had indicated that they'd like to bring Jackie back or that they hope that Jackie remains with the Red Sox or plays here a long time or something to that effect. And the media then asked Jackie Bradley about it and said, yeah, Chaim Bloom indicated that they would they would love to get into some sort of contract discussion with you. And Jackie Bradley said, that's the first I heard of it. They've told you that. They haven't told me that. And then Bradley said, I'm looking forward to being a free agent. So when you look at it that way, Bradley might not even want to be back. This is a long way of me telling you, yes, they should have traded Jackie Bradley. Even if they want him back, I'm not sure that he wants to be here. Maybe they're just playing some sort of stupid PR game. They don't want to make it look like they're chasing Jackie Bradley out of town, when the reality is he probably doesn't want to be here either. So I don't sense that Bradley's going to be here. I know Murray was theorizing at the time that it was a public relations move to not trade him. Maybe he was right. I think that's the wrong reason. There are a lot of guys that they should have considered moving at the deadline, J.D. Martinez being one of them. So could they have made more deals? Yes. Should they have made more deals? Yes. Why didn't they? I don't know. Maybe some of their guys aren't worth as much out there as we thought they were. They moved Moreland. They moved Brandon Workman. They moved Heath Embry. It feels like the Red Sox could have saved some money by even moving some of those guys. But if you're not getting anything back, I don't know that there's any real advantage in that. They need talent here. They need young, cheap talent. Preferably some that is close to the big league so they can start infusing this roster with some real talent again, particularly on the pitching staff. But the other part of Werner's comment that should concern you, or the exchange between Tom Caron of Nesson and Werner that should concern you, is what Xander Bogart said. We got too many players here to be going through a long rebuild. I don't want to go through a long rebuild. Why would he? Xander Bogaerts is now in the prime years of his career. He's going to waste them being some sort of babysitter here at Fenway Park after he signed what is basically a team-friendly deal to play here? How much do the Red Sox want out of Xander Bogaerts? If I'm Xander Bogaerts, and it kills me to say this, I have a serious discussion with Scott Boras this offseason, and I say, listen, find out what's going on there. Have an honest conversation with the Red Sox. Because I'm not giving up the prime years of my career for some crap bag organization that can't pitch. I'm not doing it. I love the organization. I want to stay here. That's why I signed. But if this is going to take a while, get my ass out of there. Get my ass out and get me traded somewhere where they can win. I'd rather do that. That's what I would do if I was Xander Bogaerts. And then if the Red Sox give me an answer that I believe and I find satisfactory, then maybe I'll stay. But they should be worried about Bogaerts because not next year, the year after, he can opt out. So they don't have a lot of time to get better. Because then some of the guys that they may not be able to control can leave. And Bogaerts is chief among them. Devers has got a ways to go. But they got to be careful with Xander Bogaerts. They got to keep Bogaerts happy. Otherwise, you're going to lose him too and the hole gets even bigger. Now, Werner did have some other exchanges with Tom Caron, one of which that I found to be revealing, if nothing else. Okay, Jimmy, this is going to be Werner number two. Okay, this is Tom Caron asked Werner a question just so again about the state of the organization. And here's what Werner's reply was.
We made a number of trades this year, obviously, that improved our minor league system. We felt that the cupboard was somewhat bare. The trades with Philadelphia and San Diego will show signs of progress.
Okay, we felt the cupboard was somewhat bare.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
We felt the cupboard was somewhat bare.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
Okay, now, a little later in the interview, Caron asked Werner another question, and it went like this.
Yeah, he said the cupboard was bare before, and some of the trades already have addressed building up.
I didn't say it was bare.
I might have been reading Twitter. My bad. But, you know.
I didn't say it was bare. I said it wasn't full.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
I didn't say it was bare. I said it was somewhat full.
Addressed building up.
I didn't say it was bare.
So again, now
the cupboard was somewhat bare.
They can't even get their lies right.
So this is one I don't understand, Murray. This is, and honestly, look, I've done this a long time. I don't take this crap personally. But the fan base hears stuff like this and goes, what the hell are you talking about? You just said it. You just said somewhat bare. Then Tom Caron asked you the question. You just said the cupboard. Oh, I didn't say that.
I didn't say it was bare.
I might have been reading Twitter.
I said it wasn't full. No, you said somewhat bare.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
So what is the aversion to the truth? What is the aversion to the truth?
Because the truth is sometimes difficult, and they don't like saying it. They don't like dealing with difficult situations. It's how they handled the Alex Cora thing. It's how they've handled so many of these situations time and again. They just can't give it to you straight.
I just don't understand the disconnect. I don't get it. And this is when I say the disconnect, we're talking about, you know, experienced guys here. Werner and Henry are not, you know, 25-year-olds who don't know how to deal with people and tell them something straight.
No, I know.
Because they lack the experience. No, right, go ahead, Murray. I'm not yelling at you.
But I feel like the PR blowback that they're afraid of is why they come off as so disingenuous and just, I don't know, you're so much better off just giving the ugly truth sometimes because they're in a bad place. So deal with the difficulty now rather than trying to sugarcoat it because you just come off looking like Well, you just come off as disingenuous. You come off looking stupid time and time and time again.
Particularly in this market.
Yeah.
See, and this is where I think that disconnect exists. You know, Werner was a San Diego guy, right? And Henry was he grew up in Missouri, but he was with the Marlins for a while. They're not from here. So in other parts of the country, Murray, people are polite. Many other parts of the country. They say that the nice thing, even if they don't mean it, they're phony.
Yeah.
We call it phony. They call it polite. Okay? And again, you can interpret it however you want. But in a place like this, no. We don't do well with phony.
It doesn't fly.
We don't do well with phony here. And it comes off that way. So you say, on the one hand, you say, the cupboard is somewhat bare.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
And then on the other hand, you're asked about the cupboard being bare. And
the building up.
I didn't say it was bare. It wasn't full.
I just said it wasn't full.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
So are we going to quibble over the word somewhat? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to quibble over somewhat bare? How about just saying, hey, look, we're in a spot. We're in a spot. Our fans know it. They're not dumb. Like, acknowledge the truth. We let it get away from us a little bit. We chased for a World Series, and we backed ourselves into a corner. So now we got to try to fix it.
No, it's like they have this whole corporate ethos of no.
Doesn't it drive you crazy?
Of no negativity. And that's just not the real world. That's not how it works. And people around here can sniff out a fraud a mile away. And that's how that brass comes off time and again. And this and now Tom Werner did it with this interview, talking about this just the other night. Can I hear that clip again, Jimmy?
Oh, my God. Seriously, Jimmy, play it again.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
And,
I didn't say it was bare. It wasn't full.
I might be reading Twitter. My bad.
Nervous laugh. I just got caught.
I mean, literally, like 3 minutes went by between those answers.
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm not even sure it was that long. It might have been less, like 2 or 3 minutes. He's the one who said it. He's the one who said it. Tom Caron didn't put that word in his mouth.
He said
somewhat bare.
The cupboard was somewhat bare.
And then Caron goes back to it and he says,
yeah, he said the cupboard was bare before and some of the trades already have addressed building up.
I didn't say it was bare. It wasn't full.
I might have been reading Twitter. My bad.
No, I didn't say that. That's not what I said. He sounds like
us. Caron should have told Tom Werner, be better.
Yep, be better.
I was going to say, Tom, you don't want to spend too much time on Twitter. You might see Murray on there. Seriously. Wow. Oh, man, that one, I said, you got to be kidding. When I was listening to the interview, Jimmy sent it to me this morning. I didn't see it Friday night. I was listening to it. I said, what? He just said bear. He just said it. And then Caron answered, I didn't say that. That sounds like something I would do between 2 and 6.
That's good stuff, though. That's the kind of stuff I love crapping on them for.
Wow, it's just maddening. No. Own it. Don't make excuses about the injuries. You know, we're not going to make excuses, but, you know, Sale got hurt and then Rodriguez got COVID, but we're not going to make excuses. No. If you're not going to make excuses, don't make excuses. We had a crap year. Lots of things went wrong. Most of it, if not all of it, is on us. That's on us. We own the team. We hire the people who run the team. It's on us. Bad year. We're intent on coming back. We're going to come back better than ever. The cupboard is somewhat bare. My gosh, it does. It drives you crazy. Oh.
This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.